So I brought a toolbox with me tonight. And if you've been listening in church recently, we've been talking some about how different people do different things and how we all kind of play into what happens here at church and maybe more importantly, what happens outside of church and just doing life together. So I brought some tools that I wanted to talk about a little bit. And I'll need a little bit of, or a lot of help here. First of all, if your dad or uncle or grandpa or somebody shows up to do a remodel project, to fix something or whatever, what is one of the first things that you think they will pull out of a toolbox? When you think of construction tools, what is one of the first things that comes to mind? Tape measure? Okay. What else?
Hammer.
Everybody knows that hammers get used in construction, right? Okay. What other common tools get used? All right. Well, we're going to look at a few of these. First of all, yes, a hammer. Now, the hammer is often used in several different stages of a remodel project, right? So when does the hammer get used? Boy, pretty soon we're going to have to start going further back. Yes, sir? To pound in a nail, and that's in the construction part, right? All right, how else can a hammer get used?
Take out
nails. You pull them out, and if I would go like that, that would do something to this wall here, wouldn't it? Okay, so the hammer gets used in several different ways. All right. Now, somebody mentioned that we use a hammer to put in nails, and that's driving something straight in, but a screwdriver is used for something very different. And somebody tell me what would happen if you would try to use a hammer in place of a screwdriver. It wouldn't work very well, right? So if you have a screw with lots of little threads that are designed to be twisted in so they pull themselves in, and you just try to beat on it, probably it's just going to break because it doesn't want to go straight in. And another common one. What's this? Crowbar, right? What do you use a crowbar for? Pry things apart. Sometimes things have to get worse before they get better in a project, right? And sometimes once they start getting better, you have to reverse it and start over. Somebody tell me what this is. Shall we go further back and see if somebody else can help us? Is anybody that can see this clearly enough at least? Can anybody tell us what this tool is? It is a plumbing tool. This is a basin wrench. Now, there are a few interesting things about a basin wrench that I want to tell you about. If you go home and crawl under your kitchen sink, and you probably want to ask your mom's permission before you empty everything out, but if you crawl under there holding the drain contraption, there is a nut that has a bunch of little knobbies the whole way around. And I can tell you from previous experience that unless you have a basin wrench, it is exceedingly difficult to get that either loose or to get it tight enough again. So the basin wrench has a very specific use, and it gets used very, very seldom. The other interesting thing about a basin wrench, as you look at it, is that for almost all other projects, it is completely worthless. You know, this grabs and accomplishes almost nothing but the very thing that it was designed to do. So there's the basin wrench. Somebody tell me what this does, both good and bad. Yes, sir. It drills holes. To get from that mic outlet to where it needs to go, probably somebody spent some time with a drill to make holes in the wood to run the wire through, and that is why we don't have wires running. Well, okay, so there are wires running there, but that is why there aren't wires and things running all over the surface, because the drill made holes to take wires behind the sheetrock. Here again, if I would just go like this and wouldn't actually need a hole there, that's not really a very constructive thing, is it? Somebody tell me what this does. You see it? It's a shim. Tell us what a shim does. Okay. So if you're, the times that I most commonly use shims are when I'm installing doors or windows or something like that, and you want everything to line up perfectly and be square and fit well, and almost always, especially in interior doors, you have to shim things so that they stay plumb and level and your doors open and close the way that they're supposed to. Now, we already talked a little bit about how many of these tools are... I forgot one more tool. I have another cool tool. This tool cost me about, I think, $1.97 at Lowe's Home Improvement, and it is neat. Can somebody tell me what this tool is? Willard is motioning at his imaginary hair. This is a brush comb. And I used to really, really dislike cleaning paintbrushes when I was done, because it seemed like I would wash and wash and wash, and they would not get clean. They would look great. But then the next time I would try to use it, they would be stiff, and I couldn't paint very well with it. This $1.97 tool is possibly one of the best investments you would ever make if you happen to make painting a career. This cleans off the hard stuff that's left on a brush, and these long teeth go in between the bristles, and it is incredible how much paint you get out. When you open up some of those spaces under running water, long after you think you've gotten the brush clean. So this is a brush, brush comb. Now, you look at all of these things, and they're all flat so you can't really see them, but each tool has a specific thing that it was designed to do, right? Now, some of them obviously interchange. The hammer and the crowbar can do sort of the same things. The hammer and the screwdriver both fasten things, right? They pound nails or drive screws. I want to read 1 Corinthians 12, 14 to 16, and I'll be reading this out of the Message paraphrase. And Paul is talking a little bit about how different people are like different parts of the body. And I used a lot of construction tool analogies here, but the body is another incredible example of how many, many different things go into a project. Here's what he says, and this is Eugene Peterson's paraphrase. I want you to think about how all this makes you more significant, not less, and that's talking about some of the things he had talked about earlier. A body isn't just a single part blown up into something huge. It's all the different but similar parts arranged and functioning together. If a foot said, I'm not elegant like hand, I guess I don't belong to this body, would that make it so? If ear said, I'm not beautiful like eye, limpid and expressive, I don't deserve a place on the head, would you want to remove it from the body? If the body was all eye, how could it hear? If all ear, how could it smell? As it is, we see that God has carefully placed each part of the body right where he wanted it. But I also want you to think about how this keeps your significance from getting blown up into self-importance. For no matter how significant you are, it is only because of what you are part of. An enormous eye or a gigantic hand wouldn't be a body, but a monster. What we have is one body with many parts, each its proper size and in its proper place. No part is important on its own. Can you imagine eye telling hand, "Get lost, I don't need you." Or head telling foot, "You're fired, your job has been phased out." As a matter of fact, in practice, it works the other way. The lower the part, the more basic, and therefore more necessary. You can live without an eye, for instance, but not without a stomach. When it is part of your own body you are concerned with, it makes no difference whether the part is visible or closed, higher or lower. You give it dignity and honor just as it is, without comparisons. If anything, you have more concern for the lower parts than the higher. If you had to choose, wouldn't you prefer good digestion to full-bodied hair? The way God designed our bodies is a model for understanding our lives together as a church. Every part dependent on every other part. The parts we mention and the parts we don't. The parts we see and the parts we don't. If one part hurts, every other part is involved in the hurt and in the healing. If one part flourishes, every other part enters into the exuberance. You are Christ's body. That's who you are. You must never forget this. Only as you accept your part of that body does your part mean anything. As I was thinking about what Paul said there about the different parts of the body working together and doing what the body does, and how all of these different tools go into different remodel projects and building projects. You know, if I would go up to a house and plan to do say, put in a new kitchen and a bathroom, and all I took was a hammer and a basin wrench, it would be a really long process. But each of these different tools plays its part. And I'm going to pick on a few people from our church here, because as I was thinking about the different parts and how they all fit together here, I just thought of some great examples. I was talking to Nathan a while ago, and he told me the craziest thing. He said sometimes he comes home from work and eats supper and does accounting to relax in the evening. Now, I do a fair bit of accounting, but friends, let me tell you, I don't do it to relax. But you know, the fact that Nathan enjoys accounting is a good thing, because he does the accounting for our church. And that is one way that one person is good at and enjoys something that, frankly, some of the rest of us aren't very good at and don't enjoy as much. Many of the youth girls aren't nearly as good at remodeling or repairing a bathroom as Sam D. or William Hirschberger, but they can connect with children at Rise and in very different ways than Sam and William can. I overheard several weeks ago Larry Beiler talking about how he was looking forward to his trip to India much more before he found out that he would have to be speaking. And if I'm remembering correctly, he said that public speaking isn't something he really enjoys. But if you'll remember what Lowell said, I think it was Lowell or David, I don't even remember which. But the reason Larry is going along this year is because for years he has been an important part of making this annual trip happen. And so they're, you know, just another great example of different people filling different roles. And kind of on the flip side of that, David Yoder said recently that he's going to be taking a sabbatical, but he's going to be preaching a little more regularly than some of the other ministers have on their sabbaticals, because he wants to stay in shape or something like that. I forget exactly how he said it. Imagine what this church would look like if we were all good at the same things. And, you know, I think one of the lies that we believe sometimes is that there's this kind of good church person mold that we're supposed to be trying to fit into. And you Scripture tells us very clearly, you can just look at the various projects that we do. There are myriad examples of how we all fit into different things, and we're all supposed to be different, and that is a good thing. So several different lessons that I thought of as I was looking at some of these examples from Scripture and from the toolbox and the church, that tools, body parts, and people can all be used for good and evil. The drill is very helpful in assisting in wiring projects, but it is also very destructive if you start poking holes in places that don't need to have holes. It takes many, many different tools and many different people to complete a project. Some tools get used a lot more than others, but each one is important. Some tools, like the hammer, get used on many, many projects and seem like a very important tool, and they are. In the end, though, they are only one of the tools needed to finish the job. And sometimes, for some of us, we feel like the basin wrench, and you never really get to do anything. But remember that there are certain things that only you can do, and you have an important part to play in getting things done. That's all. You may go back to your parents.